Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. This is episode 25, and in today's episode, we are going to be talking about the singleness season. And I'm speaking to y'all as someone who I am still in a single season. Y'all, most of the time when I listen to people talk about singleness and talking about the singleness season, they are out of that and they are married. They are already married or engaged, and they're more talking about looking back on their singleness season and how they moved out of their singleness season and how God shifted them out. Because a lot of us, when we're listening to relationship testimonies as single people, we're like looking for signs of, is our person coming? What do we need to do to prepare for our person to come in? Oftentimes we're listening to these with anticipation for what's coming next in like moving out and moving into a relationship. And that's wonderful to hear their testimonies. It's wonderful. I listen to a lot of those testimonies. But today I am going to share with y'all about my experience in the single season as someone who is still in their single season. Because I've been in the single season for a very long time, y'all. And it is crazy looking at the transformations that God has made within me and in my life and in my habits and like just how much my relationship with Christ has grown in the singleness season. So I'm going to be sharing with y'all today what the Lord has done in my life, what he has taught me. And I hope that you can be able to take things and reflect on your season as well. I'm going to share with y'all the temptations that I have faced and how drastically my dating life, my love life looks now versus what it used to look like. We're going to unpack a lot here, and I pray that this blesses you and that this helps you and that this is really revealing for you. Okay? So just to give you all a little bit of background of where I'm at relationship-wise, I'm single. I'm a single Pringle. Y'all, I'm not married. I'm not dating anybody. I don't have a boyfriend. There's no one that I'm in a talking stage with right now or a situationship right now. It's really just me and the Lord building our relationship. And it's been that way for a while now. I would say that the last serious talking stage I had was 2023, was the last time where I was like really talking to, emotionally invested in a person. The last date I went out on was like January of this year. And that was the first date in like well over a year I had gone on. I really slowed down. The last long-term relationship I had, y'all, this one has been a very, very long time. I was like 17 years old. It lasted about close to 2 years. It was while I was in high school, for about 2 years while I was in high school. I did have a boyfriend when I was like 19. That was very short-lived. And in my college years, it was a lot of situationships where we would do everything that a boyfriend and girlfriend would do. I would completely be like emotionally invested. It would be like basically a boyfriend and girlfriend without a label. But the second it got to that label point, the second it got to that serious point, something would fall out. Either they would leave me, I would leave them, something would happen. Some of them I stayed friends with for a while after, some of them I did not. But overall, you know, it was always right when it got to that point of we were really close to like being boyfriend, girlfriend, something would fall through. Something would fall off. And now I look back at that and say, glory be to God, because that person wasn't my husband. I was not their wife. Glory be to God, it didn't get that far. Because especially, you know, once I was in that relationship, I was loyal to a T. Like I didn't want to. So glory be to God, I didn't get that far in, right? So I've been in a complete no talking stage, single like that, for over like 2 years now. It's been 2 years now. And God has used that time to really reveal things about myself to me, to heal things in me that I didn't know needed healed, to develop new habits and new things in me. Now, I just want to give you all a little bit of background on how unhealthy my dating life used to be. So I remember having my first like serious boyfriend, meaning like we were actually dating, hanging outside of school, like a legit boyfriend when I was 14. I started dating a lot when I was 14. Now I remember having my first like in school boyfriend when I was like 5th grade, and of course 6th grade those branch out, but those were my first serious relationships. And I'll say I tended to gravitate towards the older boys too, so I was always dating boys older than me. never in my grade. And I always tried to date boys that weren't at my school, so that way if we broke up, I wouldn't have to see him every day. That wasn't always a thing, but I tried to be thoughtful with that. Now, I will say, dating for me was a source of fulfillment and a source of validation when it shouldn't have been. And the Lord has really revealed that to me over the past couple of years. You know, I grew up just having some examples of your value is dependent on how much a man loves you, how much attention that you get. I grew up seeing people seeking attention from men. And I also grew up seeing a lot of men withholding attention, giving attention, whenever they please. And I had started to see love as more of a transactional thing. And in all honesty, I wasn't getting the emotional fulfillment. Number one, I wasn't getting the emotional fulfillment from Jesus, and that's the source. It's where I should have been going to. I wasn't getting my joy, my love, my fulfillment, my who I am as a person from Jesus Christ, and that was the real root of the problem, right? But I also wasn't getting that unconditional love from people around me that I should have expected to get that unconditional love from. So there was a hunger and there was a yearning. Not to mention, you know, I had some not so nice kids about my age that definitely liked to make me feel like I wasn't pretty and liked to make me feel like I was annoying, rude, like weird, like all of these things. So I was really used to like getting invalidated. So I started really seeking that validation. And when I remember going in middle school and all of a sudden some boys like started paying attention to me and it felt really good. It felt really nice. Because you know, if someone said something mean to me saying, "Well, you're not pretty, well, you're not this," I'd be like, "Well, this person thinks I am, so whatever, goodbye." And you know, as I got older, I started being friends with a couple more popular girls who were used to getting more male attention. And you know, so that also meant I kind of started striving more for male attention, kind of staying on equal playing field with my friends. And it was like I needed that validation, but also it was just normal in my friend group and my circle. And it actually started to be looked at as an achievement if you had male attention, if you had boys wanting to date you, if you had, you know, it was a running joke, especially in high school, that my friends would say is they would say, like, I had a roster and I could always call someone up. And like, there was the saying that we laughed about a lot, that my friends joked about for years after, whereas a freshman in high school. And see, this was the thing too, is because I was so used to putting myself first and fulfilling myself and getting my feelings validated, I really put other people's feelings second. And I was thinking more about what people could provide for me and not what I could do for them, and definitely not how I could show the love of Jesus to them. I wasn't taking care of people's hearts correctly. And that's what trauma and pain and damage, you know, all of these unforgiveness and all of these things, when you are not healing that with the Lord, when you are not seeking to be more Christ-like, and you let that damage affect the way that you react and the way that you treat other people, you're going to leave a wake of pain behind you. And I remember I was a freshman in high school, and there was a boy that I had been dating for probably like, say like 5 or 6 months at this time. And in all honesty, I wasn't in love with this boy, but at this time in my life, I was going out partying every night. Like even on school nights, I was just out partying every night on college campus in my town. And this boy partied every night too. And he ran in a circle. Our circles ran together. He was from another school and our circles ran together. So I saw him all the time on all the nights out. He had a lot of connections and everything like that. And we just meshed. We gravitated towards each other. So we just decided to start dating. And he was cheating on me a lot. And I was honestly like so out of it most of the time that I really didn't care. I was just doing my own thing. And I thought it was a vibe to be dating a much older boy. And that, you know, he was like the social. So I was just satisfied with the standing I had socially. But it was a couple nights before my Valentine's Day dance, and I found out undeniably he was cheating on me, and I got really sick of it. And I remember I called and I broke up with him, and he started saying something like, "Good luck getting a date to the dance. You're supposed to go to the dance." And it was a pride in me and an ego in me that was like, I'm not going to be looking stupid. That was always my headspace, was this person's trying to make me look stupid. I'm not going to be looking stupid. So when I hung up on the phone with him, there was a boy that I knew had a crush on me for the longest time that I would hang out with sometimes. He was cool. He was fun, but I never cared for him deeply in that way. He was too nice of a guy, was what I used to say. He was a really nice guy. And at the time, I see it now underlying that, like, I naturally avoided nice guys because I didn't feel deserving of nice guys. And I called him up and said, hey, my sweetheart's dance is in like 2 days. Can you go with me? Will you go with me? And he, yep, I'll get a tux. And the next day he left school early to go get a tux and everything like that, and popped out with him at the dance and everything. And my friends, I remember just 4 years later, it'd be a running joke where it'd be like, I could pull a man out of thin air. Like I could pull, like, I was never without a man. And they would always say like, oh, that was such a baddie move. You literally broke up with that guy. And he said, you won't get a date. And just to prove him wrong, you got a date right then and there. And like, that used to be a brag. I used to be proud of that. And now I look back and I'm like, dang, I never thought about how that made him feel. Because we had a good time at that dance, but afterwards we kind of fell right off again. And I never thought about like, how does he feel? How did he feel? Like, I know he was excited to go to the dance with me and everything, but later on realizing that, like, I just brought him to make this other dude, to prove this other guy wrong. Like, and that's what pain and trauma and, like, pride and ego and all of these things, when you are not healing them and you're not checking them, you're going to cause damage to other people. When you have really bad trust issues and you start questioning people's character and you start doing all of these things that are more of a reflection on you than them, there is a damage that you're doing to those people. And I pray that that boy is, I pray that he is healed. I believe that he is doing wonderful things with his life now. So glory be to God on that. But yeah, y'all, like, I was picking people that were mean to me. I was picking people that would cheat on me. I was picking people that wanted lustful things from me. Like, I was not picking people who were kind and were light and knew Jesus Christ. And because I wasn't rooted in Jesus Christ, I wasn't picking other people who would lead me closer to Jesus Christ. I was deliberately picking people who wanted to turn up, wanted to do all these kinds of things. And then when I was in college, I started seeking different. I started seeking love. I started seeking romance. But the thing was that I was constantly mixing lust and love up. And I want to say right now, like, I am a strong advocate for abstinence. I have been abstinent for years now, and I intend to be abstinent until I'm married. And I want to make this very clear that you can today choose to be abstinent even if you haven't chosen that in the past. You can today choose, I am not going to have physical intimacy until I am married. You can choose that today. Because I used to believe that, well, since I already did it, there's no point. Well, I'm never going to find anyone. And those are all lies of the enemy. I see so many times, y'all, on social media where people are in the comment section saying, well, you've already done it, so there's no takesies backsies. Like, there's no, tune that out. Don't listen to that. It's not about taking it back, but it is about not continuing. Fornication, sex before marriage, is just as any other sin. Once you recognize that it is wrong, you repent and you don't go back. And I'll tell you right now, if you need someone to give you a reason that you can see physically why you should not fornicate before marriage, speaking from personal experience, it clouds your mind. It clouds your mind. When you are not doing that and you're just having one-on-one talking, getting to know someone, you can really decide if you like that person. If this person is your future husband or wife, if this person has the qualities of a God-fearing man or woman, is this the person? You're the most sober, okay, is the best way I can explain it. And when you start fornicating, when you start having physical intimacy, it is like a drunkenness. things that you used to get alarmed about, things that used to be red flags, start to look more yellow. Things that you used to dismiss immediately, you start to allow. Your boundaries start shifting, whether or not you want to admit it. I've seen it so many times happen in my own life and in other people's lives, because now there's that other emotional investment there, right? There's an over-romanticizing things, or just an over-emotionalizing things. And then some people, it actually can be a trigger for you where you start detaching really quickly or dissociating. Some people go in the complete opposite direction with that too. And that's something, a whole other healing conversation. But overall, intimacy is like a drunkenness where you're not seeing things clearly and you're not making clear-minded decisions. If you need just one like example that can be spelled, because I know people talk about soul ties and people talk about all these other things. And I'll say another thing too, is because sex outside of marriage is a sin, when you start doing that, you are giving open, that's an open door. And we've talked about open doors in previous podcasts before. That is an open door for the devil to come in and start messing with your mind, to start running amok in your life, but slowly giving him some legal access. So I'm telling y'all right now, don't do it until marriage, until you are married to that person. Okay, and there are many other, you know, safety things that come along with only having sex inside of marriage. But I'm just giving y'all one that I have learned time and time again. And the unfortunate thing too is the more that you do it, the less meaningful it becomes. The more people you do it with, the less meaningful it becomes. The more detached you may become, the more emotionless you may become. So I just want to drop that in right there. Abstinence in your walk with Christ is very important. And abstinence when it comes to finding your correct life partner is very important. You know, I used to say, well, that like really limits the dating pool. If I'm only like looking for people who are also waiting for marriage, and that's a good thing. when you're seeking attention and validation, that doesn't feel like a good thing. Because remember, y'all, for me, I used to thrive off of attention I would get. I used to feel validation based off of the plethora. I wanted a roster. I wanted multiple people looking at me. So I was literally at one point in my life, in my early college years, if I was talking to someone, I wasn't getting attention from them all day, I would just go seek out someone else on the roster and get attention and validation from them. So that would be a nightmare for me, of limiting the dating pool. I don't want to limit the dating pool. So hearing that I would have to do something like that, like only look at other people who are waiting until marriage, very much limited the dating pool, especially when I wasn't pursuing a relationship with Christ, because the majority of people I meet that are waiting until marriage are also followers of Christ. I'm not saying everybody is. Other people have different convictions for different reasons, because I did. But then I found myself only running into Christians. And at that time, I was not a Christian. And I did not want the Christian. Like, I didn't consider myself a follower of Christ, even though I was raised Catholic. And I was, like, actually really avoiding Christians, because to me, that felt like they were just going to judge me and all these kind of things. I would be required to change. And I didn't want to change. So abstinence was really hard for me to kind of work around, which is why I told y'all I ended up falling in a couple times once I decided to be abstinent. I've been abstinent for years now, but I did fall in for a little bit of a time period. I'm telling y'all today, abstinence is very, 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 very important, and I am always going to recommend that. I am not going to applaud sex outside of marriage, fornication, no matter the reason. Okay, and I'm not judging. I'm speaking from experience as someone who went through it. But you should be happy to limit the dating pool, because the less people you have coming in, the less there is to weed out and filter out. You can look and evaluate more closely. You know, if you have 100 guys hitting you up before, that's 100 different people you're having to look at. But when you start only letting in guys who are absent, now you're letting maybe 10 in the door. And it's a lot easier to take a deeper look at those 10 than it is the 100. Okay. And from those 10, there's a very good chance that none of those may be the husband. right now, or the wife, okay? But it's easier to look at that 10 than it is to like look at that 100, okay? And one of the fruits of the spirit is self-control, and waiting until marriage is a very good sign of self-control. And when you're looking for a man of God, when you're looking for a woman of God, you're looking for the fruits of the spirit, and self-control is one of those. Me personally, that's something I definitely look for in a partner. That's one of the first, obviously, someone who walks by faith, not by sight, and someone who puts their faith in the Lord, and someone who can lead me closer to Christ. I look for that. But yes, y'all, I look for fruits of the spirit. I look for self-control. Can this person handle hearing no? How does this person react when they hear the word no? What actions do they go on to take? Do they say, okay, screw you, and walk away? Do they continue to try to push the boundary? That was my real big problem, y'all. I used to entertain people. I found out for a while I really ran into a problem with when I was trying to be abstinent, where I would run into men who would test that boundary, where they would say, okay, I get it. And then 20 minutes later, are you sure? An hour later, come on. Are you sure? If they say, okay, I get it, yeah, we'll wait, but then they continue to push, that is not your husband, baby. I think that's where we're kind of transitioning into. This is something that the Lord revealed to me in the single season, was how to be discerning, of, because I used to, before I was biblically literate, y'all, before I was really having a relationship with the Lord, you could tell me you're a Christian and quote a couple scripture verses, or maybe do a good act or two, and I would believe you. It was really hard for me to discern, especially decipher like fruits of the spirit, you know, what is a false and what is legit. And we know that like a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. And when you really discern and lock in, you can decipher. And I'll tell y'all, that was one of the number one things I used to run into, was the boundary crosser and the boundary pusher. And I used to, when I was fresh on my relationship walk with the Lord, I'd be thinking back to past partners and being like, was that, you know, was I like just not saying it right? Were they actually pushing boundaries? The Lord allowed me to really go back through and reflect on past connections of what I allowed to continue when I should have just walked away. And He really revealed to me that I had a real problem with boundaries. Like, I would set them, but if I liked a person, I would allow those boundaries to be pushed back. If I had feels for them, if I felt like, oh, they're such a good person, all these other areas, I would sometimes overlook them pushing boundaries. And God really had to reveal to me, like, I had to stop doing that. I wasn't gonna, definitely not gonna exit the single season if I couldn't even hold boundaries. Someone needs to hear this today. Your man of God, your woman of God, is not going to lead you to lust. Okay? They're not gonna lead you to fornication. They're not gonna lead you to sex before marriage. If you have set boundaries, they are not going to be that temptation for you. Your husband, your wife, that is God sent, is not going to be doing that. The Lord had to get so for real with me of, your husband is not going to be trying to convince you to have sex before marriage. Your husband is not going to be trying to convince you to dress immodestly, or say, why don't you wear something a little bit tighter? Why don't you wear something that shows a little bit more? Why don't you post pictures like this? Why don't you send me a pic? Why don't you do this? He is not going to be doing that. Now, men who want to masquerade as men of God or angels of light, okay, may, but my future man of God won't. Whoever you are listening to this, your future man of God won't. Your future woman of God won't. If you have a sobriety conviction and you live your life sober, your future spouse is not going to be trying to tempt you to drink and smoke all the time, trying to get you to go to all these places where you're going to fall into temptation. A person that loves you and is a loyal follower of Christ is not going to be constantly leading you into temptation. Because as, and I'm speaking from a female perspective, because as women, we are supposed to be submitted to the husband, meaning the husband is supposed to be the spiritual leader in the household. Okay? So I have to be able to trust him to lead me closer to God. Like if I was blindfolded, I have to be able to trust that he is going to be submitted to the Lord and following the Lord and be able to lead me where I need to go. That's not saying I'm actually going to be putting on a blindfold all the time, but I have to be able to trust. So I'm not speaking so much from the men's perspective because men do have a different situation. Okay. They are the leaders. Okay. They are having to be established in a bit more of a different way. The Lord really opened my eyes and revealed to me that as Christians, we are all covered in the blood of Jesus. Jesus is our covering, right? But as women, we have a little bit of double covering because our husbands are also a covering. Our husbands are also a protection, right? So we're kind of double protected in that way. We have the covering of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, spiritual protection, our cleansing of our sins. But then we also have our husband who right here in the flesh, in this world right here, is also protecting us. They're supposed to be covering us in prayer. They're supposed to be doing things like that. So our preparation, women, is going to be different than men. We have to keep in mind that men are not, they are being prepared not only to be submitting themselves to the Lord, but they're also being prepared to be spiritual leaders and to be coverings for their wife and children. And yes, women, we are praying for our future children. When we are wives, yes, we cover our husbands in prayer. We cover our children in prayer. But men are, they are our covering. Okay, they are our covering. So we are being prepared a little bit differently than they're being prepared. So I want to just clarify that. What I'm speaking about today is more of a woman preparation. And men that are listening, I will try. I don't know your experience firsthand, so I'm going to do my best to relatable information on both sides, but you will notice that mine is a bit more of a women perspective. Okay, so men, if you're listening to this and you want to hear about the female perspective, keep listening. Keep listening. So I had to, the Lord really had to instill in me, because I was someone who was like very hyper independent. I went through a, I don't need no man. I'll take care of myself. I'll do this. I'll do that. And it was honestly really hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea of ever submitting in any way. And the Lord has taken me through that single season, preparing me for that, because I was a rebellious person. I rebelled against the Lord. So of course I would have rebelled against a husband that would say, submit, like submit, to the spiritual leadership, 100%, y'all. So glory, again, glory be to God, he didn't bring me my husband yet, because I'm telling y'all so many times, glory be to God, he didn't, because I would have screwed it up. I wasn't ready. I would have screwed it up. And someone that's listening to this, you need to hear today too. I know you might think that you're all healed and you're all good to go, but if God hasn't brought it yet, it's still being prepared. Maybe you would have screwed it up. Maybe they would have screwed it up. I don't know, but you don't have it yet because it's not the moment yet, and that is okay. But getting back to where we were at, yeah, the Lord really revealed to me, like, I had to start being discerning, number one, of what does a man of God even look like? Because for the longest time in my life, I could not discern what a man or a woman of God was. I went based off of kind of appearances and my own understanding. And I'm telling y'all that these things shifted through a daily relationship with the Lord, consistent relationship, praying to Jesus Christ, listening to his guidance and instruction, denial of self. And I'll get into that in just a minute. Denial of self, reading scripture, and heck, even listening to some other people's testimonies who have been through a similar season. Because the more I read scripture and the more I received unconditional love from Jesus, the more I recognized that the love I was receiving before wasn't the love of Jesus, and it wasn't an unconditional love, and it was actually lust. When you're able to experience the love of Jesus, you're able better to identify what does not feel like the love of Jesus and what isn't the love of Jesus, okay? It's hard for you to discern when you've never experienced. And once I experienced that, I was able to look and be like, ah, oh, yeah, see, they only wanted to date me, or they only gave me love, or they only gave me attention when I was doing these things, or these things, and these things weren't even Christ-like, and this person was asking me to do this, and this person was only calling me up when this would happen, or this person was only doing this. So yeah, the Lord has had to take me through a time of how to discern whether or not someone is a man or a woman of God. And I want to make this very clear that I'm not saying that, because we are human and we do make mistakes. Sometimes we say something stupid. Sometimes we do something we're like, ugh, probably shouldn't have done that. I'm not saying that a man or woman of God is perfect. But the fruits do speak. And we need to be paying attention to the fruits. What fruits are being consistently produced? Now, when I said denial of self, y'all, I am single. But I'm going to say this right now. I'm not saying this from a prideful place or an ego place. I don't have to be. And what I mean by that is I've had lots of opportunities to not be single. But each of those was also opportunities to go outside the will of God and to settle. To settle for things that I know God isn't calling me to invest my time in relationships and connections that God has made it clear are not for me. I am single right now because I am obeying the Lord. Very frequently, especially recently, it seems to have like turned the dial for some reason, attention wise has seemed to turn up. I've been getting a lot more attention recently, like just when I go to church groups or like different places I've been going, male attention that I'm not really seeking but has somehow found me, where I'm saying that I have had opportunities to start situationships. I have had opportunities to start talking stages. I have had opportunities to go out on dates. There are a couple, if I entertained it further, I probably would have had an opportunity to like date or even further. When you are submitting to the Lord, not everything that presents itself to you is a God opportunity. And I used to think, well, since it's presenting itself to me, it must be from God. Like, if God didn't want me to take it, why would he allow it to be presented to me? And we see that Satan offers things too. We see how he tried to do it to Jesus when he was in the wilderness for 40 days. Satan will try to offer you things too. Just because you're able to do it doesn't mean you should do it. And I have had many different opportunities to entertain people that I could tell immediately off the bat weren't my husband, weren't men of God, weren't what God had spoken to me about. And I could immediately tell that these were not people sent from God. But I had to make the conscious decision, do I send them away with love? Do I close that door? Or am I bored or insecure in my singleness or wanting attention or just wanting to be married and entertain that? Do I start ignoring what I know God has said and trying to like morph these things in my brain to make it permissible? And there have been some times too when I have gotten sent people that look very similar to what I believed I was waiting on. I can think of two different instances in the past year where there have been people who I've met in like, it feels like really divinely aligned ways, really God ordained ways. And when I'm meeting them at first, they seemed like real men of God, like really good. Okay, like, oh, okay. And like my attention is caught. And then when I start praying to God, God, if they're not for me, remove them. God, if I'm not seeing something, reveal it. Because, you know, I feel like I'm being pushed to pursue this person. And I know that you have told me before that this person's going to be pursuing. Like, I'm not meant to pursue my husband in that way. So like, although some of these things look like you brought them and they look like a man of God, some of these other things are going against what I believe you have spoken to me personally. And then the Lord starts to reveal more things over time. For example, and I definitely want to protect the privacy, one of these people, there were a lot of things that were really attractive to me, but then there were a lot of things that I started being like, God, this person, I feel more like I'm leading them spiritually than they're leading me. Like my husband's supposed to be able to lead me and walk by faith, but this person, the things that they're saying sounds one way, but all the steps I see them taking and actions, it looks like there's a lot of backsliding here. And it looks like they're giving into a lot of temptation and giving into a lot of fear and giving into a lot of these things. I would not feel safe with this person leading me, Lord. And very quickly, the Lord had revealed to me, moreover, that was not my person, but it was up to me to listen to God in that situation. That one was hard because that person looked very close and similar. to what I believed was my God, my one day spouse, my man of God, but I had to release that person. There's another one that they kept making comeback returns where it started feeling very divine, very divine. But there were things that they participated in that I had strict convictions not to participate in. And I was praying to God where I was like, God, a lot of these things, this person seems to be given into lust. They follow like a lot of lustful accounts. I see them commenting lustful things. I have a sobriety conviction. This person, I definitely don't see them being sober. this just feels like temptation and trigger central. And the Lord very quickly revealed to me, yeah, that's not your person. And see, in that instance, I had to let them go. I could have, with both these people, held on and saw what happened. But I also know I would be outside the will of God and I would be ignoring what he was telling me and revealing to me. And that wasn't the promise that he had for me. So in my single season, y'all, I have had to learn how to discern what is not from God and what's not for me, and to also release. And I've had to learn how to deny myself. There have been a couple times over the past year where, and I for a long time stayed off of dating apps, but I couldn't explain it, but like there were a couple times where I felt led to get on dating apps. Like after a long time of praying, and I felt led to get on dating apps. And I believe sometimes that God will allow us to go into situations just to see how much that we have grown and see how much that we have learned. Not so much because we're supposed to find our spouse or find something in that situation, but just to reveal more things about ourselves. You know, when I was talking about the book of Jonah the other day, Jonah going to Nineveh and telling them God's going to destroy them, and then God ends up sparing them because they repent, and he's all salty and saying, well, what was the point of doing it anyway? You know, I knew you were going to spare him. And that was more revealing of Jonah's heart. And these dating apps really revealed something to me. Every time I was on those dating apps, I never stayed on for more than maybe 4 days. I found myself every time deleting them because I did not like the attention I was getting. And it seems like every time more, each time it increased, I would get on the dating apps that like I was getting 20, 30 people messaging me. And like where it was hard to even make like a basic connection or remember someone's name or get to know them because I was busy trying to message 20 other people back. And it just felt very not genuine. And I remember like praying to the Lord where it's like, God, I don't like this plethora of attention. And it's crazy because I used to love it. In the past, dating apps were my favorite thing. You know, when I was freshly 18, 19, 20, 21, because of the plethora of attention. If I wasn't hearing from one, I could just go on the other. That actually used to be an ideal thing for me. And now, going into that environment, going into that situation, that one time in my life was ideal, now it's like a nightmare. Because I'm like, God, I can't weave through these people. And I can already tell just based off of a couple sentences exchanged that this isn't my man of God. This isn't my man of God. And I just feel like I'm getting overwhelmed with people that aren't from you. It feels like a distraction. It feels unnecessary. Like, I'm just going to wait on you to align it. I don't think my husband's on dating apps. I don't think I'm going to meet my person seeking him out like this. This feels like pursuing and seeking. And instead, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And that was a really revealing moment for me where I was like, wow, God has definitely worked a lot in me. And I can definitely tell that my fulfillment comes from Christ now because of the fact that I'm rejecting this and saying, I don't want this. And that was a form of self-denial too, right? Because in the past, I would have ate up that attention. Now I'm like, I'm denying myself that plethora of attention. And that's how I also realized that there was a real loyalty being breathed into me for whoever my future husband was. Whereas like, I don't want anyone's attention but him. I don't know him. I don't know who he is. But he's the only attention I want. I don't want any other attention. I don't want any other male gaze. I don't care to be validated or complimented by anyone. Like that's all I'm seeking for. That's all I'm wanting. In one person, not all of these other, but just one. And that's how I realized that was a real growth moment. And y'all, that was one of the big temptations I was faced with, was having the opportunity to date these people, but knowing that God told me no. And it was like, what do? Do you date them anyway? Or do you accept God's no? And the Lord started revealing to me through this time period. There were a couple different instances where I was sitting down and I was making a list of what I look for in a husband. Like, what am I looking for in a husband? And I noticed the more that I progressed in my relationship with the Lord, the list started shifting and changing. And it started to be a lot more Christ-centered and Christ-focused. Like, I remember writing down before I gave my life to Christ, this was like well over a year before, and some of the things I had listed was like, has a good job, and has has a good job, and he's this tall, and he's like this with his family, and he has this and he has that. And I didn't feel like those were lustful things, because in my mind lust was only sexual. But and I want to know if there's a better word for this. Right now, lust is the word that's come to mind. But the Lord revealed to me that those things I was desiring in a partner weren't, the main things I was looking for weren't Christ-centered. They were fleshly. They were worldly desires. And although they might not have been lustful in the sexual tense, they definitely weren't loving. And they weren't Christ-like love desires. And they weren't desires that fed the spirit. They were desires that fed the flesh. And, you know, be writing down like someone who's sarcastic but funny and like all these different things, and they enjoy going out to these places, and they have this kind of hobby, and they have that kind of hobby. And then once I started giving my life to the Lord, I noticed some of the things started shifting, where it started turning into they love Jesus and they walk by faith and they all these things. And I started noticing that every time I encountered a counterfeit, meaning someone who looked very close to my man of God, but there were some things that were off, those were learning moments for me, because I started to, when I was looking for what is missing in this person, what is the thing that isn't sitting right with me, I was able to see that is what I'm seeking in a husband that they don't have. For example, walking by faith. I never thought to put that, but now that's one of the things I look for the most. Does this person put their full faith in the Lord, or are they putting their faith in themselves? Because you can't have that one foot out. The Lord has been working in me for years of walking by faith, not by sight, of trusting that he is Lord and that his will be done. And if he calls me to do something, do it. Deny the fear. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. So when I ran into a man that had a lot of these other attributes, but I noticed them consistently giving into fear, consistently listening to the fear, giving into the temptation, like not taking the leaps of faith that God was calling him to take, I started recognizing, that's something I really seek in a partner, someone who will take the leaps of faith, someone who will walk by faith, because I'm called to do that. And I've been working on that for years in my relationship with the Lord. So like I said, I have to be whoever is leading me one day. I have to be able to be, if I had to be blindfolded in that moment, trust that they will take those leaps and obey God for me. Like we will make it to that place like that. And me following him, he's going to be following God. And that one person very much kind of contradicted that. While I was taking these leaps of faith and moving by faith, this person was more just wanting to step where they could see and plan ahead. So I knew later to write that on my list of someone who walks by faith, not by sight. And I started noticing how much by the end, the last time I did it, my list was like all godly things. Of course, I was asking God someone that I'm physically attracted to, but I stopped having physical requirements. I stopped putting this kind of height and this kind of eye color and this kind of thing. Like, those things really started being removed. Instead of asking for a man, like saying, God, I want a man with this kind of job or this kind of thing, just a man that can provide. A provider. And that's what I'll leave it at, a provider. Someone who's generous, someone who's caring, someone who's loving, but not putting all these physical because generous in a Christ-like way looks a lot different than in a worldly way. And like I said, my list, I didn't think my list was bad years ago. It didn't seem really lustful. But when I look back now, it's like, those aren't the things that are going to lead me closer to the Lord. Those aren't the things that are going to cultivate my relationship with Christ. This single season, y'all, has caused me to reflect. I used to be one of those people that I blamed everybody else. Well, we didn't work out because this guy had this kind of problem, and he did this. For me, especially in my early 20s, like in my late teens, 18, 19, in my early 20s, everyone else was the problem. he did this, he did that, he did, I was never the problem. And once the past couple years, I've really focused in on my relationship with the Lord. I was able to see how many times I what now I'm not saying that I was the sole cause. I'm not saying they were the sole cause, but I'm seeing now a lot of the problems I carried that I was not willing to acknowledge back then. And I also see now how a lot of things I carried caused me to pick people that were going to treat me poorly and were not going to be what I was looking for in a person, and that those things needed to be healed and those things needed to be worked on. I was really reflecting last night, y'all, on just how much of a change God has done in my life in the past couple of years when it came to social media. I used to be someone who I posted everything I was doing on social media constantly. And that was because I wanted people to think that my life looked like so much fun and, oh, I want to be like Danielle. I want to have her life. I loved that kind of attention. But also, anytime I posted something, I would get male attention too. It was like a double win. And I was reflecting last night where I was like, dang, I keep. Compared to like what I used to do, like I'll share my testimonies and what God has done in my life. But when it comes to my day-to-day play-by-play, no one has any idea, which is so out of the norm for me, especially growing up with social media. And I used to have I had a pretty poppin' Instagram page when I was in middle school, high school, in my early college years, and I'd shut that down, like cancel all that out and have like a very small account now that I keep a lot of things to myself. And I realize now it's like people don't know what I'm doing on a Friday or Saturday night. They don't know who my friends are. They don't know what I do for fun. They don't know where I'm at. Like none of my life that I used to so frequently post and publish, anyone knows about now. But I used to go to events and do things that I didn't even want to do solely for the sake of it looking like I had a fun life. Like there were bars I would go to, there were parties, there were concerts that I knew I shouldn't have been going to, going with groups of people that I knew I shouldn't have been going with when I was younger. But I did it so that way because I knew other people would look at it and be like, oh, I wish I could have gone. Oh, she looks like she's having so much fun. I had my friends were quantity, not quality, because I felt like that was more the fun thing is having a plethora of friends. And also, the more people you had in your contact list, the more people you could go out with, the more opportunities to leave home. Like I said, y'all, my trauma and my projection and my pains caused me to put other people's feelings second and mine first. And that was something that God had to work on me so heavily in. Because when you are married one day, it's not you first. It's not you first. God has really shown me that what marriage should be is you working on your relationship with Christ independently. That person is working on their relationship with Christ independently. You both are seeking first the kingdom of heaven. You both are focused on your relationships with Christ and striving to be more Christ-like. Christ should always be your top relationship, your top priority. Your spouse should never, ever, ever, your kids, no one should be above God. No one should be above Jesus. Your parents, no one should be above. He is the source. Okay, you cannot do without him. He is first. When we are in heaven one day, we're not going to have spouses like we do now. We're going to be married to the Lord. He is first in this life and he is first in the eternal life. Him first. And when both parties are fixed on the Lord, they are where they, you are locked in. After that, when you are in marriage, is when you are coming together and you are both still pursuing the kingdom of heaven, but you're pursuing it together now. You're helping each other get there. You're doing work to further the kingdom of heaven together. You should always both be going in the direction of the Heavenly Father. Marriage is when you guys come together later on and do it together, right? I hope I explained that well. That was a little bit wordy, but the Lord really had to reveal that to me, that my personal goal should be seeking first the kingdom of heaven, my relationship with Christ. And whoever I marry one day, that should be their main goal too. And that should be their goal before they meet me. They should already be seeking that first. This was one that God had to really drill into me, is he's not sending me to play build a man. He's not sending me to find a man and reveal Christ to him and build him up and do all of these kinds of things. Because that was a problem I had before, is maybe I can fix them, maybe I can heal them, maybe I can do this. He has revealed to me time and time again, he is not calling me to be unequally yoked. Yes, I should be being a light and like doing my candle plant seeds and lead other people closer to Christ, but my life partner, that is not what God is sending me into. I know that for a fact. That's not what God is sending me into. I'm not being sent to play Build-A-Man. I'm playing Build-A-Bear here. And that closed a lot of doors on people I was looking at in the past, you know, but that helped me to really focus in on who I should be pursuing, like who I should be open to letting pursue me. I wanted to reword that because that was one thing I think I dropped in the podcast a little bit ago, but I didn't focus too much on. The Lord really revealed to me that I am not supposed to be pursuing. I am supposed to be being pursued. Now, that is not saying that I am not supposed to, because I had a real problem in the past, y'all, with seeking out things myself. Getting on dating apps and like as a woman, again, y'all, I'm talking from a female perspective, from a woman's perspective. And I have heard many other women who are now married share the same, share a very similar where God has revealed and spoken a similar thing to them, that the husband will pursue them. They are not pursuing the husband, meaning they're not going out and like approaching all these men at the bars. They're not going out and seeking them all out on dating apps and seeking them on social media or anything like that. The Lord has time and time again brought me to the story of Ruth and Boaz. And we see Ruth, she is setting her mind on things above. She's setting her mind. We always talk about seek first the kingdom of heaven and its right and his righteousness and trust all these things are going to be added onto you. She had the opportunity to go back to her old home and to her false gods. But she chose to stay with her mother-in-law and to seek first the kingdom of heaven, to be a follower of the Heavenly Father, of the Lord. And she was just doing what she was being led to do. And at that time, that was gleaning in the fields and just picking up what was fallen afterwards and just trying to basically provide. She wasn't going out seeking a man, she wasn't doing any of that. But in following God's voice and doing what she was called to do, He placed her in front of Boaz. He placed her listening to God's voice and God's call, placed her in the area in the position she needed to be in. And Boaz had a sparked interest and he started asking about her. He started doing all, you know, speaking to people, saying, like, hey, don't leave her alone, leave her be. And he even was telling her, like, get water from here, you know, glean in this field. God, listening to God's voice placed her where she needed to be noticed by him. And he started the pursuit by taking care of her. Now, I want to make this very clear that God will still call us to take actions. I've talked about this many, many times again. Faith without works is dead. Okay? So trust in God to align you where you need to be. Trust that listening to God's voice, he is also going to tell you when you need to move and when you need to take action. And we do see that eventually, after Boaz had started the pursuit and showed his interest, then later on, Ruth's mother-in-law guided her to lay at his feet. And in doing that, when she obeyed and did that, the door was open for the conversation of marriage. The Lord has really revealed to me time and time again that women of God, we are not pursuing and seeking and finding the husband. We're not supposed to be constantly trying to position ourselves and trying to grasp at him and trying to pursue him. Trust that the Lord is going to lead him to pursue us, but you also have to be willing to obey when the Lord is calling you to take acts of faith, when the Lord is telling you to show mutual interest, show a common interest, things like that. And that was one that was kind of hard for me to understand of what is pursuing and what is and that's one that you just have to pray to the Lord for him to reveal it to you personally. So when I was talking earlier about how I feel the Lord revealed to me that I'm not supposed to be pursuing a man, that is what I'm referring to. That I'm not supposed to be trying to get on all these dating apps. I'm not supposed to be trying to go out to bars, trying to go out to all these social settings, trying to scroll through media, social media, trying to post stuff, hoping that someone will see it. Just trying to do all of these things. Instead, focus on what God is calling me to do and trust that he will guide me to the right place. Trust me that he will put me in the right field, that listening to him will put me where I need to be. So that was what I was referring to when I was talking about pursuing earlier. And men who are listening to this, because I'm not a pursuer, God has not really revealed to me a lot about the pursuit. So I don't have a lot of advice for you there. I would recommend that you pray for an understanding and pray that the Lord leads you maybe to a testimony, to something where someone else has some insight. I would recommend that you get insight on that from a man, because the way that I view pursuing may be a bit different. Okay. But yeah, so that was another thing that the Lord revealed to me. There was also an impatience, right? I had an impatience where it was like, I was very quick to emotionally invest myself. And the Lord had to reveal to me that doesn't all have to be done in one day. The second I would start thinking, oh my gosh, is this person my husband? I started getting ready to immediately emotionally invest in them. And sometimes we can get so caught up in obeying the Lord that we put our emotions and our feelings to the wayside. And I do have a testimony in that. There was a situation I mentioned earlier with a person who didn't really walk by faith. And the Lord revealed this to me at that time. I believed immediately because of the way that we started communicating and the way that we met each other, that this was a God-aligned thing. And I immediately jumped to, oh, this is probably my husband. Instead of really praying for it to be revealed to me, looking for the signs and like just taking a look at the fruit, I started emotionally investing myself as if this was going to be my husband. And I didn't really stop to think, how do I feel about this person? Do I like some of these qualities? Do I like some of these things? And when I started feeling those feelings and they were coming up, I actually started pushing those feelings aside, saying, well, yeah, I feel that way, but if it's God's will, it's God's will. I was invalidating my own feelings, and I was also ignoring my discernment, and I was ignoring that God was trying to kind of warn me, hey, you don't feel right about these things because these things aren't right. I was in a space where I was so focused on obeying God and not going out of his will, because I really love God and he has brought me some amazing blessings, and I didn't want to throw away a gift from God. And I view a spouse, a partner, as a gift from God, and one that I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to throw them away whenever they come. And I was very focused on self-denial at that time, and being like, well, maybe I'm just being judgmental, and I can't expect this person to be perfect, and maybe I'm just expecting perfection, and I'm believing that this is who God sent me, and God, I don't want to be ungrateful, and I don't want to throw it away, and maybe you're just building a testimony in us, and like, maybe I just need to stick around a little bit longer. And I extended, it was overall like a total couple weeks before I fully cut communication with this person. It didn't last too long. It wasn't more than like 2 weeks, I don't think. But it was like a couple days in that I'd already started feeling that way. And I realized I was putting my emotions to the wayside out of fear of disobeying God. And I didn't stop to think that like God cares about my feelings. And if this is my spouse, I'd be a little bit more sure about them. I would be a little bit more sure about them than I felt. And glory be to God. He revealed to me and gave me the strength to walk away and detach. But yeah, that was another thing, because the Lord had to show me is how I was very quick to, you know, in the past, I used to put myself first and all of that. And I kind of jumped to the opposite side of the spectrum, where I was very quick to put myself last and put what I believed to be obeying God first, so much that I wasn't listening to God and I wasn't listening to the discernment. And I won't dive too much into this, but he showed me that there was actually a little bit of like a misunderstanding and a skewed belief that I was still holding on to. When I was in New Age spirituality, there was a big idea of soulmates and twin flames. And the idea behind that, and I'm stating right now, I want to be very clear, I do not believe in this, and this is not biblical. Soulmates are not biblical. Twin flames are not biblical. That is not a spirit-filled ideal, okay? The idea of soulmates actually comes from, I believe it was Greek mythology, in which there was one soul that was split into two, and they were wandering the earth looking for their other half, was the idea behind soulmates. And the idea behind twin flames was something similar, where it was supposed to be like kind of two halves of a person, where you only have one of them, a lot of people in the New Age believe that there were multiple soulmates, but there was only one twin flame, and that if you met your twin flame, your life would go to crap. Like, it was a weird kind of ideal where it was like you're a mirror of each other and you reveal things to each other and you're basically the same person. So you're constantly hurting each other and getting each other angry and all these kind of things. When I look back now, it was just a way to validate toxic relationships and encourage a toxic relationship, an unchrist-like relationship. Because we know in scripture that your man or woman of God is not going to treat you in a lot of the toxic, consistent ways that these ideals validate. And when I look back now, I was like, dang, there was a lot of treatment and a lot of things I was accepting because I believe that these people were some kind of divinely brought. The Lord had to release me of the idea that there's only one person out there for me. Now, do I believe that God knows who is going to be very good for us and places us in their pathway and in their sight? Yes, 100%. But I don't believe that there's only one person on this earth that you are meant for, and your life is going to go to total crap. And if you miss that person, then you're just never going to get married ever again. I do also believe that God doesn't give us things before he knows that we are ready for them. If he knows that we're not ready and he doesn't want it to be wasted or there's not a lesson to take out of this, he's not going to release it to us yet. So I trust in God's timing. But I realized that the reason why I was holding on to that person very tightly was I was still having some residing New Age spiritual ideas of like, well, this is my person, and like, is this the only person I'm ever going to have? So I just have to deal with it and like work through it. And that was a real kind of trauma release. And the Lord really took me through a season of reminding me that those aren't biblical ideals. I didn't get those ideals through reading the Bible. I got those ideals in New Age spirituality. And if I read God's word, it actually contradicts those things. Now, I am not going to act like I understand how God works and how God moves in relationships and how he places a person, how he a lot what happens with that. I'm not going to act like I know all about that. I do not. But I will say that it's not just you have one person and like the soulmate ideal. And that it's not going to be a person that treats you like crap. Okay? Someone needs to hear that today. Take a deep breath. And if right now you're focused on someone who is not showing man or woman of God attributes, someone who is being hurtful, someone who is being tempting, someone who is leading you further away from Christ than they are leading you towards Christ, it's time to pray to the Lord. And it's time to evaluate if that relationship, if that person, if that connection came from God. And if it has not, what next step do you need to take? Because I'm going to tell y'all from personal experience that continuing to hold on and continuing to keep the door open isn't the answer. I had that problem. That was something the Lord has been working on me with in my single season too, is closing the door and not feeling guilt. I used to feel so guilty rejecting someone or closing the door, where sometimes like I wouldn't tell them how I was really feeling, or I would say, yeah, we can still be friends. We can still leave the door open. And I would later on see why that door can't be left open. Now, I want to be very thoughtful with the way that I word this, but the Lord had to really reveal this to me too, that leaving open doors to your previous partners and your previous relationships can really damage or harm your future relationship. And sometimes God will ask you to close those doors and shut those down first. You know, just to give you an example of what I have seen happen before is someone has messy, if you have a relationship from your past where that person was a little bit jealous, or maybe that person did some toxic things, that person might still have feelings for you, that person, whatever happens, okay? And you get into a new relationship, and it's a good relationship, it's a healthy relationship. But there's drama that starts coming up from that person from the past. That person from the past starts texting, starts saying, I want you back, starts all of these things. Or maybe they start stalking the other person. Maybe they start trying to sprinkle some deception, sprinkling some things because that door is still open, because they're still able to call and text them, because they're still able to show up to their house, because they're still in their hangout circle, because they're still in their main group. I have seen open doors to the past really damage healthy relationships, healthy friendships, healthy connections. So if the Lord is calling you today to close a door, even if he's not spelling out for you every single reason why, you need to start trusting him. When he asks you to leave something behind, to close something, close that door and leave it behind. Because in all honesty, when God blesses you with your man or woman of God, with your husband or your wife, what is that person from the past supposed to be providing for you anyway? Why do you want to be in connection with them? Why do you want that door open with them? I had to reflect on that one. What is the reasoning why? Am I leaving that door open because I'm a people pleaser? Am I leaving that door open because I'm trying to avoid drama? I'm trying to avoid conflict, when we know that as a follower of Christ, naturally there's conflict that's going to find us. The world hates us for a reason. Our ways are not the world's ways. When we follow Christ and we're trying to live life Christ-like, Jesus warned us a million times over, it seems, in the Bible. Blessed are you when you're persecuted and mocked on his behalf, that there is going to be persecution, there's going to be mockery, there's going to be false accusations, there's going to be all of these different things that come up when we're doing things the Jesus way. Yeah, I had to be so for real with myself of like, why am I leaving that door open? Is it for attention? Is it just in case this new connection doesn't work out, you can run back to the past? Because that's also not walking by faith. Be so for real with yourself. Be so for real with yourself. I'm speaking from experience. This isn't a judgmental call. Be so for real with yourself right now. Why is that door open? Why are you struggling closing that door? Are you doubting God's voice? Are you unsure if you've heard from him? Have you prayed that prayer? God, if they're not for me, remove them. God, if they're not for me, reveal it to me. I'm telling y'all, sometimes God's answer with the removal prayer, there have been some times when I pray, remove them, and he removes them, and there's other times when he has revealed something to me and counted on me to unadd them, to remove them. Sometimes he won't remove them, but he'll reveal them and let you make the move. And these are just a couple things that I've picked up in my single season, glory be to God. And like I said, if I had gotten handed my husband and not have learned these things yet, I would have fumbled the ball so badly, so badly. And the fact that he's not here with me yet means God probably has something else that he's revealing, cooking, working. And I want to speak that in your life today too, that God's not done with you yet. Trust in what he's doing. Trust in what he's doing. Trust that if he still has you in this season, there's something he can do with this season. He's doing it for you. He's doing it for your spouse. Don't get so bored and annoyed in this season and be so focused on getting out of the season that you miss out on what God is doing in this season. Sometimes we extend our seasons by being so focused on what comes after that we're not doing the work for why God has us in the season. There was one season I was stuck in for, when I look back, a very much longer time than I needed to be in, because I was so focused on trying to find ways out of that season. And okay, what do I just have to do to get out of the season? When is the season going to end? And fantasizing about what my life will be like when I'm out of that season. And it was finally when I locked in with the Lord and he showed me, I'm trying to reveal this to you, and I'm trying to get you to adjust this habit and to close this door and to do this thing. And when I finally did those things, what do you know? I started walking into my next season. Trust that God has you here for a reason. And there's something that can be done. There's something that you can see. Okay? Don't be angry. Because if you were supposed to be married right now, you would be married right now. If it was his plan for you have to be in this position right now, there would be some more coaxing going on. You can trust that if God needed you there, you would be there. So the fact that he is allowing you to be here, there's something to be grown. There's something to be shifted. There's something to be revealed. And I pray that this episode has helped you. Like I said, I wasn't expecting on talking about single season until I was out of a single season. I'm actually very thoughtful, y'all. I don't talk a lot about relationships on social media. I don't talk a lot about relationships on the podcast. Because honestly, I didn't feel like I was the most qualified person to talk about it because I'm not married. I'm not out of the single season. There's some wonderful podcasters I love to watch that I've heard them say that they don't take relationship advice from someone who's not married. And I totally get that. I totally get that because when I look for relationship advice, I look for people who are married too, that where it's tried and true, obviously worked out relationship advice. But I will say that I have let that discourage me a little bit of like, yep, this isn't a space I'm supposed to be speaking on or speaking from. I'll speak on it when I'm out of the season. And I really believe that God has been showing me that like he's calling me to speak on it while I am still in the season. Because my perspective right now is going to be, I'm sure, different than the perspective one day when I'm married. And again, this is not this is not advice today, y'all, of how to get married, of how to be in a relationship, of how to get out of your single season. That is not what this is centered on. This is about what I have personally learned in the single season, in hopes that maybe if you're caught in a rut right now and you're trying to figure out what is God trying to show me, how is single season supposed to be helping me? Like what can I get out of the single season? I hope that you hearing my testimony today is helping you. So again, this isn't about getting out of the single season. This isn't about like getting into a marriage or relationship advice. This is really about reflecting on the season that you're in, the season of singleness. And I do feel that's more where I have been being led to speak on today. And I really hope that this episode has helped you and has just really opened your mind and maybe shifted your perspective a bit. And maybe it's helped you connect a couple dots that God has been trying to reveal to you. I pray that he has spoken through me to you today. Now, I do ask y'all, hit subscribe. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it, whether it be Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, YouTube. And I do ask that y'all share this podcast. Text it to somebody, send it to someone, upload it on Facebook, reshare it on TikTok, like wherever you can. But that is how this podcast is reaching people. I'm not doing a lot of advertising right now. Okay. So you sharing this is genuinely helpful. Now, I do hope that you tune in for the next episode. Who knows what it's going to be about? Only God knows, but I'm sure it'll be a good one. Thank you so much for listening. This was Salt Not Sweetener. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. Have a blessed day.